Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
How many of us knew about or even thought about the World Health Organization or WHO until the spring of 2020? I believe WHO was the furthest thing from our mind until the COVID pandemic. Question mark after pandemic, as far as I'm concerned. But how reliant did we become, the nation become upon the WHO? But now we have certain governments, i.e. the Biden administration, who wants to give up our nation's sovereignty and give WHO even more power. My guest today is Twyla Brace. She's co-founder and president of the Citizens Council on Health Freedom. Thanks, Twyla, for being with us.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Thanks so much, Diane.
What is your mission as a Citizens Council on Health Freedom?
Our mission is to protect patient and doctor freedom.
Wow.
Pretty simple.
Well, yeah, we definitely need that. And I'm thinking about all the stuff that's been going on actually since the 60s when incrementally we've seen the government takeover of healthcare. But according to WHO's website, it is, quote, dedicated to the well-being of all people and guided by science. The World Health Organization leads and champions global efforts to give everyone everywhere an equal chance to live a healthy life, unquote. Do we need an international organization to dictate health advice to countries around the world? I don't think we do, but what's your opinion?
I was going to say, obviously, the question to that is no. And, you know, before we had internet and all sorts of other things, there's a lot of communications and a lot of control that would not have happened. And now that we are so globally connected, it's just easier for these institutions that have been created to want to control what happens around the globe. But that doesn't mean that we need it, that we want it, or that we should ever make that, allow that to happen.
Totally. And that's just part of a globalism, as we see an increased effort to make us into a one world order. And we see the WHO, which was founded in 1948, and I did not realize it was actually a United Nations organization, falls under the UN umbrella. I didn't realize that still until all this stuff about the amendments that Biden introduced came out. But it was founded in 48, and WHO is the United Nations agency that connects nations, partners, and people to promote health, keep the world safe, and serve the vulnerable. So everyone, everywhere can attain the highest level of health, and that was from their website. Now, WHO?
Well,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, let's just stop to define all those words. I mean, I think that's really an important thing. Is anybody can put out really nice sounding words,
exactly.
But what exactly are the definitions behind them?
And how are they promoting health? I mean, that's, when I think of the COVID pandemic, they did not promote health. They, you know, they were against protocols that would have helped people. And who actually heads up the WHO? Who heads up the World Health Organization? A world-renowned physician?
No.
No, I'm shocked.
Dr. Tedros.
Okay. And he's not even, he has a DR in front of his name, but he's not a medical doctor, is he?
He is not a medical doctor, and he was the health minister and the foreign affairs minister when in Ethiopia, when a Marxist group was in control of the country.
Oh, so the Marxist group approved of him being in charge of Ethiopia's health agency. I mean,
I can only assume that, right?
Well, I would assume that. I mean, I can't believe that a Marxist group or really any other group would allow someone they did not agree with to be in charge of any kind of organization or anything under their government. So it's once again, WHO is once again headed by someone who's not a physician. And he was just reelected, is my understanding, to that same position just like last week, I believe. So he has another
5 years.
5 year term. Okay, another 5 year term. And my understanding is China's now part of the governing board. I believe that's the title, governing board, and China's not part of that, which should be, you know, really okay, right? Yeah. What are your thoughts as far as WHO's response to the COVID-19 pandemic? And can we trust the WHO?
Well, I think, you know, what we have seen since the very beginning is that the World Health Organization went along with whatever China said in the very beginning. And then when they finally decided that maybe they should do something, if I'm remembering this correctly, because I didn't just look it up, but and it's been a while, but I think it was the World Health Organization that sent a group to China to investigate the Wuhan Virology Institute. But it was headed up by a guy who has received all of this money to do research and has been in China. And so there's a lot of money that has come from Dr. Fauci and our National Institutes of Health that this Peter Daszak, I think that's how you pronounce his last name. Anyway, he was heading up this investigation. And of course, they found nothing saying that the virology lab in the Wuhan virology lab had anything to do with the release of the virus.
Right.
But he would be a very suspect person to put in charge of that because he has done research at that very laboratory and has received hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, to do research with the Chinese.
Just like Dr. Fauci has in the NIH.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And we see how their advice was when it came to the COVID pandemic, which truthfully, I believe is all exaggerated to push their agenda. I mean, that's my personal opinion. And I did not realize that the World Health Organization is leading the global efforts to expand universal health coverage. I did not realize that. So it's bad all the way around.
Right.
President Trump, before he left office, removed the United States from the World Health Organization. So now we have a new administration who's not only put the U.S. back into the World Health Organization, but in January, under the cover of darkness, basically, introduced 13 amendments to the international health regulations, which basically gives up our sovereignty, the United States sovereignty, to the World Health Organization when it comes to health issues. Why?
Well, that was clearly the plan. But as I like to point out, the president has only a certain amount of power. And that was even shown in the midst of the height of the COVID epidemic, when the CDC could only make suggestions. Mm-hmm. And then it was up to governors what they wanted to do with those suggestions. Because the Constitution, our Constitution, really limits the power of the executive branch.
Right.
And so he can only do so much. Now, one of the things that he did manage to do was require the mask while you were flying using the FAA.
Right.
However, there are sick lawsuits against that, claiming that he overextended his authority. And so one of those, I believe, is coming up very shortly, some sort of decision to be made, whether that's a final ruling or just for the next step. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anybody has dropped those lawsuits. And the reason that they haven't done so is because President Biden has continued his national emergency, with the idea that any time they could decide to recommend them again, or he could decide to try and impose them through the FAA again. And so, you know, the World Health Organization can do such and so and this and that and make these declarations, but even in the World Health Organization's own constitution, which I looked up, there's one section that, I mean, they don't have any police power.
Okay.
They don't have any authority, that they don't have anything, any police power, even through the UN.
Okay.
So the only thing in their constitution that I could see that provides any power, which is not really power at all, is that once they put out some kind of a proclamation or a agreement or, you know, some kind of adoption of a convention, then all of the member states, which are 194 countries, would have to tell the World Health Organization that they accept them. Or if they don't accept them, they would have to tell the World Health Organization why they do not. And that's part of the agreement if you're a member. But there's no police power in there. But I do believe that the World Health Organization would like to use their power to make these proclamations to then advance what they want to do through using the governments of other countries, including the United States. But in the United States, because we have a constitution that limits the executive branch, only so much that the president can do. Mm-hmm. And I think what we have seen in the pandemic is what the governors can do or don't have to do.
Right.
As, you know, as Governor DeSantis really showed us that the power is in the state and that the states can actually tell the federal government, toodaloo to you.
Mm-hmm.
You can make that proclamation, but we're not following.
Right.
We're not doing it.
And that's a good point, because the 10th Amendment of the Constitution definitely gives states those powers. It's not listed in the Constitution as being a federal power, then it goes back to the states. But too many states don't know what the Constitution says. But yes, Governor DeSantis definitely has been the example. I would just hope that more Democratic, well, we know Democrats won't jump on board because they're, you know, they're beholden to the federal government. But we would hope that the GOP governors in the other states, which I think about half, I think, are GOP governors, I would hope that they will look at Governor DeSantis. But it takes backbone, which Governor DeSantis has shown he has, and not enough GOP governors have the backbone that's needed. One thing we did here in Pennsylvania, because our constitution had allowed Governor Wolf, who's a Democrat, basically blanket power to call an emergency and do whatever he wanted, do whatever mandates, and it would be ongoing. He could continue to call the emergency even when it was about to expire. He would renew it, et cetera, et cetera. Last May, during our primary, we passed a constitutional amendment that limits any governor to a 21-day emergency declaration. Then after that, it has to be reviewed by our General Assembly. So that was a way in which we are, you know, for future emergencies, the General Assembly has more control over the governor. But that's just one example in Pennsylvania how a governor took to heart everything coming out of the CDC's mouth or the spokesperson's mouth and, you know, shut down businesses, stay-at-home orders, mask mandates, et cetera, et cetera. And so you're saying the WHO, World Health Organization, does not have policing power. So even if these amendments were to be passed, which my understanding is 12 of the 13 were rejected from the Biden administration, but even if all of them had passed or been accepted by the World Health Organization, the organization itself does not have the police power to enforce whatever it passes. Is that my understanding?
That's correct.
Okay. So really, it really goes down to who's in the White House as to whether they will accept, just like in the States, it's who's in the governor's mansion as to whether they accept what the CDC says. Same scenario, same type situation. So we want...
Right, which is, you know, it's a good thing for our founders who looked at the king over in England and said, we're not going to do that again.
Exactly.
And so when you read the Constitution, really, it's the legislative branches, the U.S., the House of Representatives and the House and the Senate, the U.S. Senate, who have the power over the president. But then you have the 10th Amendment, which says that basically anything that is not actually said affirmatively that you can do, you, the president, you, the Congress, you, the Senate, and you, the judges, everything else is reserved for the state and for the people.
Yeah.
And so the Constitution was written to limit the government. Now, the fact of the matter is that Congress has overridden the Constitution. They've forgotten their own limits.
Mm-hmm.
The president often forgets. The judges too often don't follow the Constitution. And so the backup, which we've been discovering more and more through COVID, the backup is the state.
Yeah.
The backup is the state.
So,
which are local to the people and much more sensitive to their constituents.
Absolutely.
And their elections.
Yeah. Unless it's a Democratic governor.
But even the Democratic governor can, if there's enough of his people that are against him, if he wants to be reelected, he has to be more sensitive than, let's say, the president or a member of the U.S. Senate.
Because it's local.
They're just more distant.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, local, and a lot, most of the time, or too many times, I'll put it like that, the people forget the power that they have, that's given to them under the Constitution. And we just bow down and assume we have to do whatever comes from a government entity when the power, and this was the founders' intention, the power is in the people because government answers to us. We pay their pay. We're the one, the money comes from us to pay their paycheck. Too many government officials, I would say the majority of them, forget that. And we, the people, have to remind them of that on a regular basis, really. What are your thoughts on the U.S. being back into the World Health Organization, as we are now one of the 194 countries that are part of the World Health Organization? Is that good or bad?
Yes. Well, I'm going to answer that, but I just want to remind your listeners that the Constitution starts with the words, we the people.
That's true.
We the people of the United States establish. So it is we the people that establishes. It is not the government that establishes against we the people.
Yeah,
okay.
True.
So your question about the World Health Organization not being back in, I am a proponent of taking our money out of the World Health Organization. We're one of the largest funders of it.
Surprise,
it's run by a Marxist. And the organization, according to the World Health Organization itself, is 86% funded by private donations or voluntary donations. And those include the voluntary donations of the United States. So every country is assessed a certain amount of money to be in the World Health Organization. And then there's a variety of amounts that the different countries around the world might give in addition to that. And so the United States is a very big donor.
Oh, yeah.
Donor to the World Health Organization, which is run by a Marxist, which has a cozy relationship with China, and which is perfectly happy to issue these pandemic declarations.
Right.
So I think, you know, and when they're talking, they talk about being the leading authority and creating a more equitable, inclusive, and coherent global architecture. Those are their words, right? So
yeah,
they want to create an overarching legal framework internationally. So there's nothing good about what they're intending to do when it comes to the United States. The sovereignty of our country and the U.S. Constitution, our rule of law, all of this do not fit well in where the World Health Organization wants to go. So we should not be funding them. There's no reason that we should be funding them. We should take ourselves out and let them hobble along on their own if they wish to stay, you know,
find their money elsewhere. Yeah, I totally agree. We don't need to be part of an organization like World Health Organization. We could much better use that money here in the country than to fund. You said 86% of the World Health Organization is funded by, you said, private organizations?
Voluntary donations.
Okay.
And that does include the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, but it also includes voluntary donations of countries around the world.
So the larger, of course, a country can decide if they want to be in the World Health Organization. And I'm assuming that dependent upon the wealth of the country, that is how it's determined how much they will pay towards for their contribution. That's how it's determined.
Yes. Well, okay. And the World Health Organization, when they say the words more equitable, inclusive, and coherent global architecture, when they're saying equitable, they're saying a redistribution of wealth around the globe under their control. And that would mean a lot of redistribution of American wealth to other countries around the world.
Exactly. Yeah, that's just like with critical race theory, their word equity, that's one of their buzzwords, equity, and that's it. They want to redistribute wealth, property, whatever. So like you're saying, it's the World Health Organization is headed by a Marxist, and it has Marxist ideology written all through its documentation. So it's troubling, but again, we'll just add that to the list of troubling things coming out of the White House when it comes to the Biden administration, and that he was trying to cede some of the U.S. sovereignty to the World Health Organization, because we know if those amendments have been passed, that the Biden administration would have signed off on them, obviously, because they're the ones who introduced those 13 amendments. That just shows how very, very important every election is, from the local city council member to the White House, how it's so very important that we get out and vote for the best person, do our investigation, check into the candidate's stance on various issues, and we need to vote for the right person. And as you're saying, the local elections, the local government is important, just as important as the federal government, even more so because of the way the Constitution is written. And we need to remind ourselves of that all the time. So what do you think of monkeypox? Is that going to be the next pandemic?
The one thing about monkeypox is it requires very, very close contact, which is why it was first spotted, as it were, within the homosexual population. And they were initially talking about those engaged in sexual networking.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought is that it's, although there's probably going to be different people around the world getting it,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to be spread anything like COVID, and that it's probably going to go away. There's been monkeypox for a long time.
Right.
It's not like it's like a new thing. It's not a new thing. And there's all sorts of poxes.
Exactly. Cowpox,
camel pox.
Well, I had no idea. I had no idea there's that many poxes until monkeypox came on the scene. Like, what's a camel pox? Anyway, how can folks contact you, Twyla?
So they can find us online at www.cchfreedom.org. cchfreedom.org. They can follow me on Twitter, Twyla Braze. So at Twyla Braze, and they can call us at 651-646-8935.
Okay,
651-646-8935.
Fantastic. And I do encourage my listeners to go to your website and check into it, because you have lots and lots of fantastic information on the website about various health issues. And it's something that's very important, because we sometimes are being led astray by things coming out of the CDC and the FDA, et cetera, et cetera. So we need to be very careful. So cchfreedom.org. And again, thanks, Twyla, for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Thanks.
If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.